John.
With Jens and Joey Utah. Talking baseball. Mike Trout and Lucas Duda. Correa, Bryce Harper, and DeGrom. When October came, they remained real calm. Especially Jeter, Big Poppy, and Med Bum. Welcome, everybody, to another exciting episode of Point Breaking Podcast, the Talking Baseball Edition with Matty Gents.
Joe, that was terrific. I thought that was a brilliant opening.
You like it?
I know we're in search of a song, a little ditty here to open up the show. And, you know, for the time being, I kind of dig it.
You dig it?
I like it.
Wow, you're a lot better than my my partner on my wrestling show, because he'd probably be making fun of me right about now. But I'm glad you dig it. We're trying something new here on the podcast.
And, you know, from a singer myself, Joe, you're ahead of the game. I got to
really?
Be honest with you. I mean, I thought you had some work to do, but you're okay.
Not bad.
Not doing too bad.
You're not just saying that to stay on the show,
I'm not just saying that. No, I'm not just saying that.
Well, folks, I'll tell you what. Because Matt's got some pipes on him. So you heard my rendition. Next week, if it's okay with Matt, we're going to try you out with a little talking
baseball. Yeah, sure. That's fine with me. Absolutely.
Why not? All right. Make sure you look at you're talking into the
make
microphone.
Make sure I'm just like, literally face planting into the mic right now. Folks, if you could see me, I'm literally leaning off of Joe's bed about to swallow this microphone right now. I'm so close to it. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Sorry, buddy, but that's the rules of the game.
No, it's totally fine. Sometimes you just got to get up close and personal with a microphone.
All right. So check it out, Matt. It is currently Tuesday night. The Mets are currently playing game two of a day-night doubleheader.
Yep.
And they lost game one by the score of 3-1. The only run scored was a Curtis Granderson solo shot.
In the eighth inning.
They have what, like one run in the last two games, three games?
One run
shit?
In the last two games because they were shut out on Sunday by Jose Fernandez, I mean, who was unbelievable. He struck out 14 Met batters. He's been unstoppable at home for the Marlins, and he's won 23 of his first 25 career starts at home. He was dominant. I mean, there's really nothing else you could say. Matt Harvey pitched on Sunday against him, and coming off of his best start of the year, which was seven shutout innings on Memorial Day against the White Sox, he threw seven innings of one-run ball. It was great again, so there was definitely a silver lining in that loss. The Mets were going for the sweep on Sunday. Couldn't complete it. But nonetheless, you know, you take a lot of positives from it because Harvey pitched so well. And, you know, the Mets, like you said, Joe, they opened up a doubleheader today. The first game didn't go so well, playing right now against the Pirates down 3-1. So, you know, that's where the Mets are right now. Where we left off last week was after the Harvey start on Memorial Day. Pretty bad loss on Tuesday against the White Sox. They took a 4-0 lead into the sixth inning, and they blew it and lost 6-4. And then the next day, played a marathon of a game, 13 innings, and they really lost it was a terrible way how the loss started, at least. Matt Albers, a Chicago White Sox reliever, in his first at-bat since 2009, hit a leadoff double, and he wound up scoring the winning run.
That's great.
Who does that? Yeah.
I love hearing about AL pitchers screwing over the whole National League, just coming into the NL and actually being able to hit. Because I personally think that the pitcher hit in the National League is stupid. I think it's the dumbest thing.
So you're one of these guys that wants to, you know, invoke the put the DH in the National
League. Let's be real. Half the time you're pinch hitting for one of these guys, it's an educated guess at best that they're going to perform. I hate the whole fact that you could have Jacob DeGrom in there pitching lights out for five innings, but because the score is 0-0 and they have a runner in scoring position with two outs,
and take him out in the
sixth, they're going to take him out. I hate that. A lot of purists or
traditional. Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm a purist.
What do you think about
I'm
that?
A purist. I like how it just kind of separates the two leagues. So I like how the American League is known for the DH and the National League, which is the senior circuit, as they call it. It's been the oldest of the two leagues for however many years it is. They have the pitcher spot pitching.
Hitting,
yes, and
right.
Both doing both. And that's kind of why I like it. It's tradition. I'm a traditional kind of guy.
I'm a traditional kind of guy,
You
too,
are a
baby.
Traditional kind of guy. That's right.
I like butter on my toast. You know, I like turkey on Thanksgiving. But you know what I don't like is pitchers hitting in the National League. It's
you
dumb.
You like lamb and tuna fish?
Listen, you got. I love. We'll talk about that
we'll
on another
We'll talk
podcast.
About that later on.
I'm half Syrian, so yeah, I do like lamb and tuna fish. But the bottom line is, catch up with the times, please. I mean, especially
French fries, catch up. Yeah, there you go.
You're still going.
I am still going.
Yeah. So spaghetti and meatball.
Spaghetti and meatball. Yes.
Analogy. But come on, I mean, we're talking about an era where we have a replay, in effect, for every little play that happens on the field. You know, the umpires are going to review it. Not even they're going to review it. They're going to New York, who's reviewing it and relaying the call. Whatever. I'm over it. Let's move on. Let's keep going. Keep talking.
Well, let's move on anyway. So yeah, the Mets kind of had a bit of a checkered week. They put David Wright in the DL last Friday, which was something that, you know, kind of set the Mets back a little bit, took a little hit of morale, but they did a nice job on Friday in their first game against the Marlins. The Irregulars, if you will, had a good game and a 6-2 victory over the Marlins. Wilmer Flores actually got going. James Loney hit his first home run as a Met, which was actually his 100th career home run. And then Rene Rivera, backup catcher, who's actually pretty much, I think, should be the Mets' number one catcher right now with Darno out because Pulwecki's not really hitting too well. Hit a big two-run home run in the ninth inning to kind of put the game out of reach. And then you know, Saturday, the Mets had to come from behind, and they won 6-4. Michael Conforto had a big RBI, snapped an 0-for-22 slump. Rookie Matt Reynolds collected his first RBI. So they got contributions really from all over, which is what they're going to have to do as they kind of piece together this lineup with all the injuries that they're kind of dealing with right now at the moment. But so you know, kind of an up-and-down week the past week for the Mets. And kind of the same way for the Yankees, Joe. What were your thoughts on the past week of the Yankees?
Before I get to the Yankees and my thoughts on that, I just created a new segment on the spot. Met of the week. We'll each pick our respective players for our teams. Who's your Met performer of the week?
Well, I have to give it to James Loney. I mean, he's been really red hot since he's
not
been
going
to
go with Harvey his return
since he's been inserted into the. Into the lineup, and we've talked about Harvey ad nauseum. I got to continue to see him doing this positive stuff. I'm off two starts. I can't just give it to him. But I mean,
well,
no,
just for the week.
Just for the week, yeah. I mean, he's an honorable mention. I'll put that.
Okay.
But James Loney is my guy coming in and getting a couple big hits. So with that being said, go ahead, take it with your Yankees, and then we'll talk about your Yankees.
All right, baby, let's do it. Let's talk some Yankees, some real baseball.
Real baseball.
As the great Terry Cashman would say.
There you go.
So the Yanks went 3-3 since we last spoke.
Mm-hmm.
They're 3 games under .500, 6.5 back of the Baltimore Orioles, who there's no holes in that lineup.
No, there's not.
They're tearing the cover off the ball. And the Yanks, a strange stat that I saw today that really, really caught my attention is they're only 14-12 at home at the stadium. And listen, baseball is a game of home field advantage, like most professional sports. And when you're the New York Yankees and you're playing in a stadium as prestigious, well, not as prestigious as the old Yankee Stadium.
Right.
But as prestigious as the new one is. It's mm-hmm. a friggin' monument.
It is a monument.
It's a castle. It's whatever you want
to
call it.
And needless to say, the ball flies out of there. But go ahead. That's a different story.
Speaking of flying out, Castro hit a ball off the foul pole today. A home run that looked like a pop-up. Well, it was a pop-up. But overall, Matt, I am happy with how the Yanks have played the last week. If you had asked me on Friday... I'm sorry, if you had asked me Wednesday how I felt about it, I mean, go listen to the podcast because I think we did it Tuesday. It was, this offense was lagging, it was missing something. And the key for me, where I finally saw the tides changing, if mm-hmm. you will, was Thursday night in Detroit. The Yanks were getting hit by a guy named Matt Boyd. Who I believe they received in the Price transaction last year.
They might have.
Pretty sure they did. And then the bats came alive in the seventh inning. And since then, they're averaging 5 runs a game or more. They've scored 5 runs or more in 4 of the last 5 games. The one game they didn't score 5 runs, they had their chances.
Right.
That was Saturday when CeCe Sabathia pitched one of the guttiest performances I've ever seen. The guy wiggled.
Walked 5 batters, right?
Six batters.
Six batters in 5 innings.
Two times, Mark Trumbo, who's leading the major leagues in home runs with 19, came to the plate with the bases loaded, and Sabathia struck him out twice. His ERA is down to 2.58. But, yeah, my whole point of the reference in that game was the Yanks had 10 hits in this game. They had the bases loaded several times. This game eventually went to a rain delay.
Oh, that was a terrible loss then.
Yeah, you saw
it was
that.
It was a bad loss. Yeah.
So it was 1-0.
the majority of the game on after an A-Rod blooper.
And then Betances left in the game. Well, because
I was gonna get.
Sorry, yeah, go ahead, get that joke.
No, please.
Well, no, what I was gonna say was, yeah, I mean, Betances came in and had the two runners on, and
well, he Sabathia led off the inning with a walk. He told Girardi after five innings, he came in to the dugout, held up his finger, and said, "I want one more inning." And I like that from Sabathia. At the point, I believe he was at 106 pitches. He was gassed. I mean, he's gassed, you know, in the first inning.
Right.
But he said, "I want one more inning." Girardi, you know, let the veteran have his way. Sabathia came out, walked the leadoff guy, which brought in Dellin Betances. Now, Dellin Betances has been shaky lately. He's given up runs in four straight appearances. Mm-hmm. His ERA has gone from 1.93 on May 29th to 3.54 today, June 7th. Whatever's going on with Betances... the thing is, he's done this before. He did it last year. He had a spurt of about, I want to say, 10 games where his ERA
kind of
ballooned.
Up and down. Right.
Yeah, he does this a lot. So, am I worried? Not really.
No,
he's
a great arm. He's a great arm.
He's good. He's too good to be this bad. If his velocity went down, or his curve wasn't spiking like it is, maybe. But he's just getting hit right now. He's having a rough patch. I'm not hitting the panic button on Betances just yet. It's just funny to me. It's ironic how the Yankees can't seem to get their offense lined up when they have a good start from a starter, i.e. CC Sabathia going five innings.
Well, they're 14th in the American League, Joe, in runs scored. And the only guy who's really putting up right now is Beltran.
And boy, is he putting up.
On a consistent basis.
Well, with that said, we're going to skip ahead to the Yankee of the Week, Matt, because...
I think we just said it.
You said it. The cat's out of the bag. Beltran last night hit a big, big go-ahead three-run homer in the eighth inning to give the Yanks a 5-2 win in the opening game against the Angels. This was a great game to watch. It was 2-0 Angels the entire game. And Brian McCann stepped up, and he's the guy that sparked the offense with a solo shot. Castro followed him to go back-to-back to tie it at two. Next inning, Beltran came and hit a three-run shot to ultimately have the game-winning hit. He's been their most consistent player all year. He actually hit a two-run homer today. I don't know if you saw this. Yanks are currently leading 5-0. He hit a two-run homer in the first inning today.
I mean, he's honestly an early candidate. I mean, I don't know who else would be out there, but, I mean, comeback player of the year? I mean, seriously, I mean...
It's possible.
I mean...
I don't know if his year was too horrible last year for him to have it, but I mean it's. Listen, Beltran's a guy who year in and year out produces.
Always
this
produces.
This guy's he's a professional hitter.
He is.
He can still catch up to a high fastball. And needless to say, he's my Yankee of the week. Now the Yanks, what's coming up next for them? They've got three more against the Angels at home. Well, two after tonight. Then Detroit comes to the stadium for three before the Yanks hit the road and head west to Minnesota and Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
These are
big games,
sir. And they're four very, more importantly, they're four very winnable series for the Yanks.
Right.
The Angels, or should we say the California Mike Trouts.
The California Mike
that's
Trouts.
Essentially
what they are nowadays, yeah.
I remember seeing a stat a few weeks ago where when Trout has two hits or more in a game, they're like 14-0 or something.
Right.
Something ridiculous.
He's the best player in baseball.
He's phenomenal. With that said, the Yanks, who's hot for the Yanks? The lineup I already mentioned, they're all starting to hit. Ellsbury's is on fire right now. He hit 320 in May. He's hitting 375 in June. And yet Girardi still decided to sit him today against David Huff for the Angels, who's terrible. He's got a career 5.08 ERA. And this is one of the things. You want to talk about catching up to the times. This whole lefty-on-lefty nonsense has got to stop. Because every time there's a lefty pitching against the Yanks, one of either Gardner or Ellsbury is eating some pine, and it's ridiculous just because they're lefties, so badly that teams are calling up players, Matt, calling up lefties to make spot starts. David Huff hasn't made a start all year,
right?
And the Angels call him up, and I mean, it kind of proved my point invalid today because the Yanks offense teed off on him.
Well, that's similar to what the Mets have been doing, Michael Conforto. Now, he's been struggling lately. But a lot of times Terry Collins will sit him against left-handed pitching because, you know, the whole lefty-on-lefty thing. But the way I kind of see it is if you have a young player, I mean, the only way he's going to learn how to hit a left-handed pitcher is if he hits against him, if you put him in the lineup against a left-hander. I agree with you. I'm not a big fan of this whole lefty-on-lefty deal. You got to keep him in there.
You got to. Another guy who I'm really high on is Rob Refschneider.
He's getting an opportunity right now.
He had his opportunity last year. He hit 300 while he was up, you know, in a small sample size. I think he was only up for maybe 2 weeks of last year.
Right.
Since being called up, he's 5-for-22, but all five of those hits are for extra bases. This guy, every at-bat that I've watched him in so far, he puts together great at-bats. He goes up there. I saw him the other day work an 0-2 count, worked it full, and eventually teed off for a double. So, you know, I hope that this guy's a mainstay in the lineup now. Unfortunately, the only reason he's called up right now is because of injuries.
Any infusion of any of young players, Joe, with the Yankees, I'm all for. They're going to have to get some people with energy in there and a spark plug players that can come in and kind of turn it around, because it's been an arduous climb back to trying to get to 500. There's that word again.
We need to make a T-shirt.
We got to make a T-shirt with just the word arduous on it.
Yeah.
You know, as you said, they're 3 games under 500 right now. So it's kind of taken them a while to get back to where they started. Everybody starts the season 500. So they're going to need continued contributions from players like Rob Refschneider. So.
Yeah, it's true. Other than that, Tanaka's been good.
Tanaka's been great.
They just don't like to hit for this guy for whatever reason.
For anybody.
He's given up 3 runs in his last 2 starts, and yet he still can't register a win. You know, and baseball's a funny game because on the other end of the spectrum, you've got Ivan Nova, who gave up 5 runs in 6 innings the other day against Baltimore and managed to get a win.
Well, he's a guy who's always got run support in his career.
Always. Isn't that a funny thing?
Yeah, it is a funny thing.
They got to do a study on that. Is it the pace of how these guys are pitching? Tanaka is a little more deliberate, a little slower with his
wine. May just be luck of the draw, man. I mean, or it could be a head case with the team. You know, it's like they had their ace on the mound. I mean, years ago when Matt Harvey was on when he had his best year in 2013, you know, Harvey Day, that whole thing. You know, the Mets never scored for Harvey. So, I mean, it could be a total psychological thing with the team. But Joe, you got anything else you want to mention with your Yankees, or you want to start to go around the league here and talk about a few things?
No, Big Mike's putting in a great performance as we speak. I think he's at 4 shutout innings right now. Slider's working really well
for
him.
Commit that to memory. You don't really hear about that anymore.
Yeah. He had a great start earlier in the week.
He did.
It was a gutsy performance. It wasn't great. One run over 6 innings. And the only thing that kind of bothered me by this was earlier, before that start, before his start where that I just mentioned, mm-hmm. Brian Cashman put out a statement and said, listen, directed at Pineda, you know, you've got to start pitching well or, you know,
your spot's going to be up for grabs, pretty much.
This entire rotation's been pitching well, you know, so.
Well, you gotta put some of these guys on notice.
I mean, I like that, but at the same time, when he comes out and starts pitching great, like, does he only pitch this well when he wants to or when he gets threat? I don't know if I like somebody pitching with a sense of urgency.
Joe, whatever it is, man. Whatever it is, you take it as it comes. Right. Seriously. And if that's what's going to light a fire under his ass, so be it. If he goes on the rest of the year and finishes the year strong and helps the Yankees, who knows, to a playoff spot, you're going to be fine with it.
Yeah. Well, let's hope so. One last thing on the Yanks. Mark Teixeira went on the DL with a torn right knee
torn cartilage in his right knee.
Okay. Day after Dustin Ackley, the Yanks called up Chris Parmalee, and like I said earlier, Refschneider's been starting at first base. Been playing pretty well.
He's playing well, yeah.
I never really thought it was that challenging position, personally.
Right.
Remember, but then again, I'm a shortstop.
It's like what Terry Collins said. It's not a position you just stick the fat kid over there and hope he does well. But Joe, if we can go around the league here for a second, there's something I've been wanting to talk about for some time now. Last Thursday, the San Diego Padres were playing the Seattle Mariners, and it was pretty kind of a big deal. Mariners were down 12-2 heading into the 6th inning, and they scored a combined 14 runs in the 6th and 7th innings. And Kyle Seager for the Mariners finished with 3 hits and 5 RBIs in the game, which is something of note, obviously. And the Mariners went on to win 16-13 after they trailed 12-2 heading into the sixth inning. Now, this didn't help matters for the Padres much, okay, as people in the front office were openly criticizing the team in recent days. So Padres executive chairman Ron Fowler had called the Padres' recent performances, quote, embarrassing and pathetic. And he was voicing his displeasure about a recent 1-7 road trip that San Diego was on. They got beat up by Seattle early in the week, 16-4 last Tuesday. San Diego was down 16-0. Okay, this is baseball. This isn't the San Diego Chargers against the Seattle Seahawks here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 16-0 after the five innings. The Padres then regrouped, were able to come back for a 14-6 victory the next day, but the 10-run collapse last Thursday pretty much washed away whatever good feelings that they'd had.
Yeah.
Going to that
I
game.
I saw that there was like seven straight RBI singles.
Seven,
right?
For the Mariners. When I was looking up the scoring plays.
I watched that. I went back and watched that inning, and it was like fucking 45 minutes.
I was honestly like expecting like a Nelson Cruz grand slam or a Cano like three-run shot. No, it was all singles.
It was a 12-0 lead, you mentioned?
It was 12-0. Oh, it was 12-2 heading into the sixth inning.
That's right.
So, I mean, you know, the Padres are a team that right now are 24-35.
They just can't do anything right.
Well, they can't do anything right. I mean, they're a team that went for it last year, which, you know, is fine. They brought in guys like Craig Kimbrell and B.J. Upton in a trade, or now is Melvin Upton. If I was playing as bad as B.J. Upton was under that name, I would change my name too. So they brought in Justin Upton via trade. They brought in Matt Kemp, Will Myers. They brought in Derek Norris via trade. All of which amounted to a 74-88 record last year. They then fired their manager after 55 games.
Who's that, Bud Black?
Bud Black. Okay. They were 32-33 after 55 games. And,
yeah, that's right.
I mean,
you did your homework.
I did my homework. Oh my I did.
I
definitely wanted to talk about this. I mean, and now their farm system is completely depleted because, in order to get all those players that they picked up last year, they had to give away a lot of top tier prospects that they had. So They're going to
be spinning their tires for a long time.
Well,
and the Atlanta Braves.
Right now, like they can't. They just got to completely gut it. I mean, and it just started last week. They traded James Shields to the White Sox, which is a really nice pickup for the White Sox.
Yeah.
Matt Kemp, you got to figure, is a guy that teams are going to be interested in. Andrew Cashner has been a name that's been kind of floated out there for a couple years now.
Yeah.
Gianhervis Solarte, an infield guy. So, I mean, listen, if you're an organization,
these are
the executives are in the front office. These are decisions you have to make. Listen, we just got to blow it up, take our lumps for a couple years, get top draft picks, deal with the 95 to 100 loss seasons, and try to just stockpile all these guys.
And here's something that doesn't help the Padres' cause, is they're playing in one of the most professional divisions in baseball.
Yeah, I mean,
Giants and Dodgers, year in and year out.
Right.
Are competing. The Giants are 3-time world champs. Dodgers are in the playoffs every year.
Right.
You know, I guess you can take your licks on the Diamondbacks, and you know, even the Rockies are improving.
Yeah, I mean, they got some players.
They're not an easy team to beat.
But it's definitely looking like for the next 5 years or so that
it's a shame because that franchise hasn't been anything since Tony Gwynn retired.
No,
if you think about it.
And I mean, like, listen, like,
and what was that, 2001?
When you bring in what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 guys who were, you know, pretty good at the positions, respective positions they played last year, coming into last year, and it was pretty much all for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And you gave up all of these prospects in your farm system. You just wasted. It was a total waste. Yeah. And this is what gets people fired. In the front office. It's those types of things.
Rightfully so. I mean, you can't produce results. That's what happens.
Yeah, totally.
So, is that all you want to say about the Padres?
Well, yeah, Joe, whatever you like to say about your Ron Lee segment.
Well, Matt, I want to talk about the American League Central. And stop laughing. I want to talk about the extremely streaky American League Central. The Indians have taken sole possession of first place, as they're currently in the midst of a 6-game winning streak. I'll get to them in a second, right now let me just talk about the streak.
Sure. Yep.
Okay, so they're in the middle of a 6-game winning streak. The Royals, the same Royals who last time we were speaking were in the midst of a 5-game winning streak, mm-hmm. are currently in the middle of a 5-game losing streak.
It's been a roller coaster season so far.
Holy moly.
Right.
Defending champs.
Yep.
The Tigers are in the middle of a 4-game winning streak. And the White Sox and Twins, they're both on 3-game losing streaks, a little, you know, a little less dramatic.
Tigers getting some good pitching right now.
not only, Tigers getting great pitching. Hold on, I wrote it down. Let me grab my notes.
Grab those notes, baby.
So the Indians starting pitching over their six-game winning streak has been phenomenal. And they've had some guys in this rotation, besides Corey Kluber, who's a former Cy Young winner, who, you know, I've kind of had my eye on the last couple of years. And one of them is Danny Salazar,
baby.
Great pitcher.
Yeah, he's really good.
Dialed in the other day. He threw eight innings, gave up a run, had nine strikeouts. His ERA is 2.24.
Yeah.
This is a guy, and I think he's 25. He's one of the young players.
Yeah, young guy.
This is a guy who you want to build around. And besides that, they also have Josh Tomlin having a great year. But over those six-game winning streak, the Tigers, the Indians' starting rotation has a 2.03 ERA. And, you know, they've got some other players. They've got some big playmakers. Francisco Lindor, one of my favorite guys.
Jason Kipnis is good.
In baseball to watch. Kipnis is having a big-time year. But Francisco Lindor is a guy to watch. He's the guy to watch on this team. 22-year-old sensation. Batting .308 with 10 stolen bases. Only been caught stealing once. Plays great shortstop. And if you watch this guy play, he's having a great time.
He's
playing the game the right way. He's not causing trouble.
Joe, this league, all around, not just American League, but all throughout baseball, it's really, really, the future is so bright for that shortstop position. Him, Correa, I mean, Trevor Story, the list goes on and on. There's so many top young shortstop players out there.
Well, not only that, and I'm going to mention a guy who you probably don't care too much for because, you know, he's in your division and he's dominating. Well, not recently. Is Bryce Harper with the whole "Make Baseball Great Again"
slogan. Make Baseball Great Again.
I love it.
Sort of like Donald Trump. Make America Great Again.
You think that's where he got it from?
I don't think so.
But you're getting a new sense of energy with baseball where we're missing it, you know, maybe 5 years ago or so. You were getting all these older players.
Yep.
You just didn't have this new revamped energy.
Infusion of energy. Yeah. That's what we've been looking for so long.
Young guys come up and just playing great baseball right off the bat.
It's taken baseball a long time.
Lindor's 22.
It's taken baseball a long time to kind of move past that whole steroid era, and I think we're all finally starting to come out of it.
Well, you know, you mentioned the Padres and how they kind of need to gut themselves and rebuild, and that's kind of what baseball did. It kind of, you know, cleansed its hands the last 10 years.
I mean, they're still kind of getting something. I mean, you were talking about the Indians. Marlon Byrd just got busted for his second PED. He's suspended for 162 games, but at least the cases have been fewer than they were.
All right, so you're just going to shit on my whole segment?
I'm not shitting on any segment. I think the Indians are terrific. I'm just talking about Marlon Byrd.
Former Met right there.
Met right there, that's right. Speaking of people who have kind of... What's that sound?
Uh-oh.
What is that
those fancy sound effects?
Is that a new
effects?
Segment that you're coming up with on the fly?
That is correct, Alex. So, Matt, what that is, that leads us to Matt's word of the day.
Well, Joe...
What do you got for me, buddy?
Let's see. We have... This is me sometimes with a lot of things, okay? I have a lot of useless knowledge,
okay?
But when it comes to things that actually matter, I have a very nescience personality, lack of knowledge or awareness.
Okay.
So, well, I'm taking a shot at myself here is what
okay.
I'm doing.
Okay, well...
A synonym is ignorance, a word that we're all... very familiar with, I would think. Joe?
Yeah. Is there anybody in baseball, any managers, any general managers who you would say are nescient?
Nescient? Let's see. Whoever is in the San Diego Padres organization, I think, is a very nescient personality.
I should have hit the buzzer right there.
Yeah, definitely right there. Speaking of who else is nescient or ignorant right now, are some Phillies fans, they directed a lot of their bad intentions at Ryan Howard over the weekend, who got a beer bottle thrown at him during a game. Not that it's not warranted, because Howard, through 50 games, is hitting .150 with a .210 on base percentage. This is a man who's making...
That's pretty nescient.
...millions upon millions of dollars this year.
Oh, yeah.
He's got 8 homers and 19 RBIs. I doubt any American League team would bring him in as a DH because of his contract, but if there is one, the Phillies would be thrilled, absolutely, to give him away to anybody for a bag of balls or a couple Gatorade buckets. But there's been rumors that there's been rumors that he could be released. And I think for the Phillies, not that I really care about any Philadelphia sports team, but if I'm going to try and be as unbiased as possible here, I think the Phillies would be well served and their fan base and their organization if they moved past Ryan Howard and got rid of... He's pretty much the last guy that's remaining from those teams, those good teams.
I took the words out of my mouth. He's the last remaining artifact of... I'm not going to say a Phillies dynasty, but a consistently
they were
good Phillies team that dominated that NL East.
Back-to-back World Series appearances.
Yeah, they lost the one in 09 to the Yanks. And, you know, it's really a shame because as far as I've always...
I mean, he was a great
Howard's a good guy. He was always a good role model.
Great
player. He does a lot of charity work.
Right.
Saw
him in those Subway commercials.
Yeah, for him to be on, you know, and not to mention he's one of the great sluggers of our generation.
Bro, 58.
Who's clean? I mean,
58 and 149 in his MVP season. You don't hear that.
No,
you never hear that.
It's invisible these days.
Right.
So you know, you mentioned that it was really warranted. I guess in Philadelphia they would say it's warranted.
Yes.
But they're Neshians.
They're so Neshians and ignorant
Am
people.
Am I using that right?
You're using that right. It's the right context.
I was thinking of Sleepy Hollow with Christopher Walken. Well, isn't he called a Neshian?
I'm not sure, I know Christopher Walken, and I think
it's like a Russian soul, no, he's a Hessian.
A Hessian. Right.
Well, that's what it reminds
me. There's our history lesson today.
So I'm being a little Neshian.
The point-breaking podcast, that's fine.
Yeah, good flick. If you haven't seen it,
good,
Tim
great
Burns
flick.
It.
I mean, anything Christopher Walken is in is terrific.
You want to give a little Christopher Walken impression?
Let's see. Does your mother sew? Right? Joe Dirt?
Boom!
You're talking to me all wrong. The wrong tone. Do it again.
Stab in the face with a soldering iron. Boom! Get it to sew that!
Does your mother sew?
How about that for the Point Breaking Podcast? We do Walken impressions. We got Jeopardy sound effects.
Beautiful.
Tell your friends about it.
We got it all.
Share the links on Facebook.
And there's many more to come.
By the way, if you haven't already, make sure you go into the podcast app on your iPhone. Or if you have a Droid, make sure you download some kind of podcast app so
on
you can subscribe.
On your cellular device.
Yeah, your smartphone, your
right.
Non-Neshian phone.
Non-Neshian,
and
ignorant phone.
Make sure you subscribe. And more importantly, make sure you leave a little remark, a little review.
Yeah, why not?
Give us 5 stars because we're awesome.
Even if you're going to bash us, I mean, it's still a review. We're just happy to get a review.
Yeah, send us some feedback.
Who
at
cares?
pointbreakingpodcast@gmail.com. Send us a review. We take the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Oh, yes.
Me and Matt want to make this show as entertaining as possible. So anything that you guys can give us to make it better... We are on board for.
We want to make this show great, Joe.
We want to make Point Breaking Podcast great again.
Absolutely.
How about that?
Beautiful. I couldn't have said it any better.
And what else do you want to talk about, buddy?
The Carl Crawford, he got DFA'd by the Dodgers. You know, here's a guy who was one of the best players in the game for about an 8-year period. He's hardly done anything. Resembling
yeah,
the player.
Talk about bad contracts.
Oh,
him
my
and
God.
Ryan
him
Howard.
And Howard.
How come they're throwing bottles at him in L.A.?
Oh, yeah. Why aren't, you know, we calling them pathetic and embarrassing like some other executives or people in the front office that we mentioned earlier?
Crawford's owed $35 million over the next 2 years.
185 batting average this year, 230 on base for the season. Rumors are that the Giants could possibly pick him up because Hunter Pence is down for the next couple of months. And, I mean, listen, any team that picks Crawford up is only going to have to pay the major league minimum, which is about $500,000. You know, only $500,000.
Yeah.
But the Dodgers have to eat the rest of that contract. So if I'm a team that's going to be in contention, I mean, why not take a flyer on a guy like Carl Crawford? Who knows? If just play him on a part-time basis.
Just for his experience alone, Matt. I mean, this guy's been in, what, three pretty prestigious... Well,
he was in a World Series. He was in a World Series with the Rays.
He was in a World Series with the Rays. He was with the Red Sox organization. He was with L.A.
Right.
If nothing else, I'm sure he can help out some of the younger players.
Hopefully. I mean, because you got to figure... He's got to have something left.
I mean, I'm sure he's still pretty fast.
Right.
So use him to pinch run.
Right.
He had some big years in Tampa himself.
Huge years in Tampa Bay.
I wonder how many hits he's got, because...
I think he's got to be close. He's got to be 2,000, I think. He's got to be close to 2,000 hits.
Where's our stat boy at?
I don't know. We haven't hired one yet. We can't afford him.
Well, if you want to be our stat boy,
yeah.
Shoot us an email at pointbreakingpodcast@gmail.com. Also, guys, we recently started a Facebook and a Instagram.
We did
start
an Instagram.
Right? Is that it?
Instagram yes.
Instagram account. Go on there and just search Point Breaking Podcast. You'll find us. We got the sexy blue logo.
Mm-hmm.
Brought to you by PowerPoint.
Oh, very nice.
And, yeah.
Our good friends at PowerPoint. Joe, do you have anything else?
I want to talk about the Rangers and how they're running wild in the West.
Mm-hmm.
They're 4 games over Seattle, who's kind of been playing well. They're a little inconsistent lately, too. The Rangers actually swept Seattle over the weekend to extend that lead to 4 games. Speaking of young players, Matt, there's a guy on that team. He's my pick for the AL Rookie of the Year. And I mean, it's early. but it's Nomar Mazzala. Mm-hmm. Incredible talent.
Hit a huge home run recently.
Longest home run of the year.
474?
493.
493, sorry.
This guy's a tank. He does everything well. He hits, obviously, for power, hits for average. I think he's batting 315. Mm-hmm. He's got 10 home runs. He's having a year. Since returning, Rougned Odor is 5-for-11 with a home run and three ribbies. You think he was pissed off about that suspension, Matt?
Yeah, he probably was, showing his play.
Yeah, I wonder...
Houston's hitting.
You know, what's funny is you haven't seen Rob Manfred on TV in a while. You think Odor might have given him a little 1-2 combo?
I don't know. Rob's keeping a pretty low profile nowadays.
Speaking of returns, they also got Yu Darvish back from injury. And
huge pickup right there.
Yeah, and he's 2-0 since coming back. And listen, Hamels is a great pitcher. But when you get a Yu Darvish back too, I mean, that really solidifies
formidable 1-2 punch right there.
Rangers are going to got Colby Lewis. Rangers having a decent year.
Rangers are going to be dangerous, man. They got the best record in the American League right now.
And they got a bad contract too in Prince Fielder now.
Right. Yeah, he's only batting 194. And steady Adrian Beltre with 40 RBIs right now. The guy's insane.
Well, if we can learn nothing else from baseball and where it's been the last 10 years or so, hopefully this is finally the sign of these long contracts coming to an end.
Yeah, well, I think it is. It should be.
It should be. With the exception of these young players who are 22, 23, you know, Trout's in the middle of a 10-year one, I believe.
Right.
That he signed at age 21.
Giancarlo Stanton got a big contract, too, from the Marlins.
That's a 13-year contract. 13-year
deal, yeah.
So that's all I got, buddy.
One more note before we get going, folks. Michael Fulmer, red hot for the Detroit Tigers, rookie pitcher. Last three starts, he's got a .40 ERA. He's the guy that the Tigers picked up in the Yoenis Cespedes deal from the Mets. He was the guy that the Mets – he was the main piece of that trade for the Tigers. So just wanted to mention Michael Fulmer and how red hot he's been for the red hot Tigers. So, Joe, that's all I got for you today.
All right, buddy. Well – check it out, guys. Shoot us that email, pointbreakingpodcast@gmail.com. Go subscribe to us in the iTunes store or the App Store or wherever you're going to find us. And leave us some feedback. With that, I'm Joey Utah.
I'm Matty Gents.
Go Yanks.
Go Mets.
Go Yanks.